Good morning. Time to get up and go to work.
The Power Pack Morning Zoo. Are you kidding me?
It's hot.
Fire. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Good morning and welcome.
Dan Mickley.
Oh my God, he's from Chicago. That's amazing.
Vince Marotta.
Oh my, who's better than Vince?
Sarah Cazell. And Jerry Carlin. It can only be
Jerry. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Mickley and Marotta mornings.
Shout out to Dan Mickley, my boy. Him and Vince. Okay.
Good morning, happy Monday, Valley sports fans, and away we go, a brand new week of content and shenanigans and stupidity.
Not necessarily in that order.
And Jared Carlin running into the studio 30 seconds before showtime, panicked.
That was a close one.
Got it all under control. I saw Jared that's like strolling through the doorway with 40 seconds before.
It was 5:59:30, and I looked up. It was all black in the producer's bay, and I'm like,
I figured out exactly how long I need to get everything set up.
Got that internal clock.
Yeah, and I was pushing it.
Yeah, okay. Strange weekend in sports. The Kentucky Derby was fun while it lasted. The pregame to the Kentucky Derby was endless. I thought I was watching a Super Bowl pregame.
It is something, isn't it?
Oh my goodness.
Hours and hours and hours.
A good friend of mine, by the way, he's a brand new season ticket holder to the Diamondbacks, got caught up in all the excitement. On Friday, dude, I ain't going to be around this week, and I'm going to the ballpark Friday and Saturday. How'd that work out for him, by the way?
And he didn't go on Sunday?
Yeah. Took Sunday off?
You're doing it wrong,
then,
man.
Then we had no late basketball game yesterday, a clinching game that tipped off at what?
10 o'clock
in
Arizona time.
What were they thinking?
I'm telling you.
The disrespect the NBA showed to the Cleveland Cavaliers and Orlando Magic in this series
was... We can predict that going in, that was going to be the NBA TV 4 p.m. start every day. But
when you got one game at a game seven,
yes.
Did you shift that?
Yes.
A Sunday night. That's usually like the prime time, Sunday night.
Now, I guess maybe it was an acknowledgement from the NBA that the Orlando Magic are impossible to watch when they can't make a basket.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the second half for them.
Yeah.
The whole scheduling thing is weird. How about Minnesota and Denver are playing game two tonight before two series have even played game one?
That's odd as well.
Yeah.
And
then
they don't play again until Friday.
You're right, Jared. Blow it all up. The NBA ridiculous. Playoffs, they suck. They're endless. They go on forever. Ridiculous.
Can't we get this over with?
Can't we get this over with? Isn't any fun? So, it was just, things were just like all over the calendar. It was a very weird weekend. And then I got stuck having to watch Tom Brady. I don't know if you heard this, but a producer on ESPN said Tom Brady looked like he was playing Tom Brady in a Kurt Warner movie.
That's a great joke.
Yeah. With all the plastic surgery he's had done.
Oh, so, no. It's all natural,
man. He's beating time, Vinny.
What is his
skin? Him and Gambo. They have found the secrets.
Skin regimen is. Father Time is undefeated until now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
Gambo and Tom Brady kicking Father Time.
That's right.
In the cradle, right?
All right. Do you got anything to add to this mix here, Jarrett?
No, I thought his teeth were spectacular.
They are
radiant.
Mm. Teeth that white. There's something about it. I didn't watch all of it, and I just saw that on the ESPN crawl, they said the roast went on for 3 hours. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
A lot of these roasts, you see only the good jokes, to put it that way.
Yeah, that's true.
They say it's kind of a brutal thing to be there in person for, because it takes a really long time, and all the, even the best acts, they edit down for TV to just take the best jokes.
That did not happen last night. It was all live. And how much of it did you watch? Did you watch the whole thing?
Not the whole thing. I drifted in and out. There were parts where I can't stand all this attention given to Tom Brady.
Yeah, I got to the point where when professional comedians came up and bombed, Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer together, That was awful.
Was it? Okay, I did not see that.
And it's also...
That's when I just gave up. I'm like, these guys aren't going to make me laugh. It's over.
And I know this because I obviously make... This past Friday, I did Tom Brady roast jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
There's essentially only like four things that you can make fun of him about. So by like the 10th comedian going up and making different versions of the same jokes,
yeah,
it gets a little tiresome.
You guys are huge comic and comedian fans, so I think you look at it probably a little more passionately, maybe a little differently than most people, because you're both so deep into that space. Yeah. I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But Jared's
there were
right.
Some good moments, though. Yeah.
Maybe being edited and packaged in an hour for television is a better
is the way to do it
than live.
Yeah. But then Tom Brady and his teeth don't get 3 hours of airtime.
That's true.
On the list of people whose teeth are simply too white, Sal Palantonio, Tom Brady.
Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan's the champ. Oh, Rex Ryan's right there.
Rex Ryan is the undefeated heavyweight champion of
Mark
the world.
Curtis. Mark. Doesn't he have impossibly white teeth?
Now that you say it, sure.
Yeah. Attaboy, Mark.
Start the show, ferret!
Puts up a strong veneer.
The Splash.
Splash.
The stories making waves in the sports world.
The Splash.
Cannonball. Cannonball coming. Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
D-backs were able to salvage one game of their three-game series with the Padres. They win the finale 11-4 at Chase Field on Sunday. The offense showed up with Jake McCarthy, Ketel Marte, Christian Walker, Jock Peterson, and Corbin Carroll, all driving in two runs in the contest. Ryan Nelson came back from the injured list, allowed four runs over five innings, and then handed off to the bullpen combo of Justin Martinez, Joe Mantiply, Ryan Thompson, and Kevin Ginkel, who combined on four innings of scoreless relief. D-backs now 15-20 on the season. They head out on the road for the next six, starting tomorrow in Cincinnati against the Reds. Then it's three in Baltimore against the Orioles. And I got to tell you, it doesn't solve everything. It may not solve anything, but that was a game they needed to have yesterday. The natives were getting restless after what happened on Friday and Saturday.
Well, we know it won't solve everything. We've seen this four or five times before.
Listen, there's a weird dynamic going on here. The Diamondbacks keep finding themselves in these positions where they're plucking a victory that calms everything down for the moment, but they're still deconstructing, yet we're all waiting for the team to get fully healthy where they can put something better on the baseball field.
Yep.
Weird times. Just weirdness all the way around.
Manager Torrey Lovello said before Sunday's win that closer Paul Sewald is feeling good, made the trip with the team to Cincinnati, so he could be activated soon. He hasn't pitched this season after starting the year on the injured list with a left oblique strain. Sewald did pitch an inning for the D-backs Arizona Complex League team on Saturday, struck out two. Lovello also said outfielder Alec Thomas is progressing nicely from his hamstring injury. Thomas went 1-for-4 with two runs batted in for the Reno Aces in a 6-4 loss to Vegas on Sunday. And Lovello added that Eduardo Rodriguez, who spent the entire season on the injured list, will be getting further imaging this week to update the club on his healing process. Rodriguez has been dealing with a shoulder strain, currently on the 60-day injured list. Nothing new over the weekend on the Phoenix Suns front, and that means there's been nothing announced concerning the future of head coach Frank Vogel following the Suns' 49-33 regular season and their four-game exit in the NBA playoffs at the hands of the Minnesota Timberwolves. So maybe we'll get some sort of concrete news. Maybe we won't. Who knows? Maybe it's just business as usual with the Suns.
Yeah.
Everything is fine.
Everything is awesome.
The final first-round playoff series wrapped up in the NBA yesterday with the Cleveland Cavaliers beating the Orlando Magic 106-94 in Game 7. Donovan Mitchell scored 39 for the Cavs. Evan Mobley had 11 points, 16 rebounds, and 5 block shots for Cleveland, which overcame an 18-point first-half deficit. I love this note from ESPN. It's the largest Game 7 comeback since at least 1997. Did the researcher have like a lunch break he had to go on?
Yeah, couldn't go any further back than that. Yeah. Oh, that's good enough to make my point.
It's also the first time the Cavs are in the second round of the playoffs without LeBron James on the roster in the last 30 years.
Yeesh.
Home team won every game of the series. Cleveland moves on to take on the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Two games on the postseason docket tonight. First, it's Game 1, Knicks hosting the Pacers in the other Eastern semifinal. That game gets underway at 4:30 on TNT. Then it's Game 2 in the West. Denver looking to bounce back and even their best-of-seven series against Minnesota at Ball Arena in the Mile High City. Tip-off 7 o'clock. That's also on TNT. Minnesota had quite an announcement over the weekend, huh? Winning Game 1 in Denver?
It was quite a declaration, and again, it led a lot to what I believe is a lot of overreaction, but still, that basketball team looks like they're pretty formidable.
They are wired for this, it looks like.
And what a time to be a Minnesota sports fan. We talked about that Minnesota stuff, that Minnesota way, the Minnesota curse, right?
Yeah.
Viking fans are stoked over their draft. The Twins have won a bunch of games in a row.
Well, they finally got snapped yesterday.
They had won 12 in a row until yesterday.
Throw out the sausage.
Throw out the rally sausage.
Yeah, the Timberwolves have captured the hearts of Minnesota. Stanley Cup playoffs rolled on to the New York Rangers. Jumped out to a 4-3 overtime win. Over the Carolina Hurricanes in Game 1 of their Eastern Conference semifinal. Dallas vanquished defending Cup champion Vegas with a 2-1 Game 7 win. Radek Faxa! First playoff goal, 44 seconds into the third period, proved to be the difference for Dallas. Remember when we had a hockey team?
Yeah.
Oh, that was fun. There you go. There is your splash on Monday. Sace DeMayo. Coming up next. Yeah, all is quiet on the Suns front for now. Does it continue? We'll get into it. We're out of mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Luke. What's going on with the Phoenix Suns, and why has it turned our morning show and our afternoon show against each other? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Usually the coach is always the fall guy. It's usually just the nature of the beast, right or wrong. I mean, that's if you can't change the dynamics of the roster, usually it is. But here's the other thing. You know, they're preaching continuity, and they're preaching, you know, bringing the same group back. You know, where does a new coach fall into that? So now you got to go out and hire a new coach who has probably a different system. It's a matter of, you know, basically integrating everything from scratch, mm-hmm. whether it be this offseason in training camp. And then you're basically kind of in the same position you were a year ago, except, you know, the three guys have played together a little bit more here. So they'll evaluate, you know, it wouldn't surprise me either way. I would applaud them if Frank Vogel was back. I would applaud the Lakers if Darvin Ham was back, because mm-hmm. it shows that, listen, it's not going to be a continual rotating door of head coaches here.
It's Bobby Marks from ESPN on with Wolf and Luke on Friday on whether or not he thinks Frank Vogel will be fired. We'll get back to that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Jarrett, have you heard Gambo's look ahead for today? Did he take another shot at me?
I have heard it.
Because I responded.
I was not going to play it today.
Okay.
Why?
Because I feel like...
Oh, my goodness.
There's a way to do this and be clever and good-natured, and there's a way to do it how Gambo did it.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it, Jared. I want to hear it.
Do you want to? It's about Vinny. So, Vinny, do you want to hear it?
Vinny's a big boy. Vinny can handle himself.
I'm sure he gets personal for no apparent reason.
Will Frank Vogel get the axe for the fourth time in the past 8 years? We'll ask someone who knows quite a bit about being relieved of his duties as Vince Barata joins us on the Burns and Gambo show at straight up 2 o'clock.
What is relieved of your duties?
It also doesn't make sense because I don't know.
Yeah, really.
It sounds like you're co-hosting with him.
Yeah, real.
I guess you get fired a lot, according to Gambo.
Yeah, I'm not going on that show, by the way. For the
record. There you go.
I welcome the smoke. I just don't understand.
I mean, that's the way Gambo operates. He'll just take a shot out of the clear blue, just a shot across the bow, just to get things started, which he did last week.
Uh-huh.
He said, you know, were the Suns' problems due to the PA announcer?
That was kind of funny.
Which I thought was funny.
That was kind of funny. So I responded with the weekend. I don't know how many times it ran, how many times. I know they heard it because Bernsey texted me and said, oh, my God, that was awesome. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But my response was,
a lot of talk about point guards in the Valley. The afternoon show's got an elite point guard. Is he being dragged down by his partner?
His backcourt mate or whatever
backcourt
you said.
Mate, yeah. I'll let it die. I won't.
Let's keep it going. Let's throw some logs right. on this. You don't have to do it now.
I got like 3.5 hours to come
yeah.
up with something.
Come good. Up with something. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
So Bobby Marks on Friday on whether or not Frank Vogel will be fired. Nothing's happened so far.
Mm-hmm.
There was the strange press conference last week, Matt Ishbia, James Jones, really to announce nothing. It was just kind of a year in review, if you will. There was a lot of talk, as Bobby Marks talked about, a lot of talk about continuity. Does the continuity bleed over to the coach? And at this point, I think we're getting into weird territory. The Los Angeles Lakers, like the Suns, eliminated in the first round. The Los Angeles Lakers, like the Suns, have a top-heavy, veteran-laden star roster. They didn't stand pat. They fired Darvin Ham after two seasons. And now we're, a week plus removed from the Suns being eliminated from the playoffs, and still nothing. Not a vote of confidence.
No.
Not a firing.
The only vote of confidence came from Frank Vogel himself passing on what he believes was told to him by Matt Ishbia. It's really an interesting situation because there is really no possible way, in my opinion, you could run this whole thing back as if what we saw last year didn't happen, as if the Suns were just a good team that didn't have enough time to gel. Now, they can try to sell that to the marketplace, and about 35% of the Suns fans, the ones who want to see nothing but purple and orange and sunshine and rainbows, the ones who don't believe Devin Booker would ever leave us, that 35% would believe it. But anybody who just experienced this past season, and I could go anecdotally from the waning focus on defense on some nights to the flat out inability to even care to the report in The Athletic, I could name 10 things here that could illustrate the point that something has to give. Now, because there's an unhappiness on the basketball team. There's no joy on the basketball team, and everybody notices it. And so is it a matter of KD not liking how he's used on offense, not liking playing the four? I got news for KD. I don't know who he thinks is going to play the four.
Well, that's all part of this soup right now. And the question is, run it back. That phrase has been used a lot. I don't think the Suns have a choice on the personnel front other than to run it back right now. Honestly speaking, and we'll get more into this as the show goes on, we'll get more into this as the weeks and the offseason goes on. It doesn't make sense to me, even though everybody's disappointed. And I know in the year 2024, when something doesn't work, it's blow it up. That's plan A for everybody. Blow it up. Mm-hmm. Devin Booker's going to New York. What can they get for Bradley Beal? Can they shop Kevin Durant? It doesn't make sense to do that right now. Now that we're a week out and all the emotion's gone, if you had emotion in the first place, you have to look at it logically. Running it back from a player standpoint makes sense for a number of reasons. And again, there's not a whole lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about the coaching thing. And I'm wondering about the failures of the offense of the Phoenix Suns. I can give Frank Vogel a lot of credit because looking at the personnel that the Suns have defensively, it didn't make sense for them to get better as the season went on. You see what I'm saying?
And they did.
They actually bought in on that end of the floor. The offense,
not fully, but they made improvements.
Absolutely, and they were a passable defensive team.
Yes,
which should be enough with the offensive firepower they had.
Mm-hmm.
The offense was a failure, in my opinion. When you have that much firepower and to have those kind of struggles. And Kevin Young was in charge of the offense. He's gone. So what do they do? Does this bleed over into the head coach? Or is it just an assistant coach coming over to take over the offense? I don't know. But with the timing is now getting peculiar on all of this.
Yeah, listen, I think what it feels like to me and this is just the feels. What it feels like to me.
You're all in your feels?
Not yet, but I might be. What it feels like to me is that the Suns know that the issue here really isn't Frank Vogel per se. That they probably expected more from a coach who's won a championship. But I agree with you that you diagnose this, you're going to say, okay, the offense is the real issue. Maybe it's Kevin Young's fault. I think they're hedging their bets. I think they're waiting to see whether KD wants out. And I think they're hoping that Book doesn't want out. And I think they don't know the answer to either question. And so they're standing pat until they have clarity. Because, listen, the only way this makes sense, that you can run it back with the coach in the core of this basketball team, is if attitudinally, is that a word?
It is now.
If their collective attitude improves. And how does that improve?
Meteorological. Attitudinally.
Regenerative.
But look at it this way. Mm. And again, we can circle back to this. If Kevin Durant had a beef with Frank Vogel, don't you think Frank Vogel's gone by now? Or if he verbalized it? And only said after the season, unless
the team is soured on KD as well, and maybe go ahead, ask for a trade. I don't know, Vinny. I don't know, man. Look, KD is coming off a great season, his best season probably in 3-4 years. So yes. If there was ever a time to trade KD, this is probably the last time a team can effectively trade KD for assets. And I just think that if attitudinally this team is flawed, how much of that is on him?
You went back to it. I love it.
I'm going to see if that's a word. It sounds good to me, right?
We're gonna circle back to that, too.
All right.
About is this the last time you could possibly trade Kevin Durant? Because I've got some thoughts on that, too. Do you have a favorite youth sports coach who represents the best in sportsmanship and competition? If so, text the word COACH to 620-620 for their chance to win a $500 gift card. That's COACH to 620-620. Coming up next, D-backs offense breaks out yesterday. Thank goodness. In a win over the Padres, we'll get into it. In D-backs Daily, it's Bickley and Marotta mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball.
D-backs Daily.
D-backs trying to salvage one game in their three-game set with the Padres at Chase Field. San Diego had its way in the first two. They won both by a combined score of 20-2. That's not good. Ryan Nelson on the mound for Arizona in the finale, fresh off the injured list, taking on San Diego part-time knuckleballer Matt Waldron. Didn't take the D-backs long to get the bats awakened on Sunday, however. Bottom of the first, Jake McCarthy led off the game with a single to right. That brought up Ketel Marte.
As now the 1-0, that's belted deep to right field, 2-0 Diamondbacks.
Chris Garagiola on the call, Marte parte. Four pitches into the game, the D-backs had a 2-run lead, but they were not satisfied nor done. Pavin Smith hitting in the 3-hole Sunday, singled. Christian Walker drew a base on balls. Waldron would get the next two hitters. But Kyle Higashioka had a pass ball on strike 3 to Eugenio Suarez, so both runners moved up 90 feet. That brought up Corbin Carroll with two outs and runners on second and third.
Waldron comes set, and now he throws. Swing and a line drive. That's in the center field, a base hit. Walker rounding third. He's going to try and score. The throw from center is off the mark. He gets past the catcher. Waldron not backing up the play. Carroll goes into second on the E8, and it's 4-0 Diamondbacks.
Hallelujah. We got a Corbin Carroll highlight on D-backs Daily. First runs driven in for Carroll since April 15th.
Wow.
Wow is right. 4-0 lead there. San Diego.
He must have been really unhappy with his tax return.
San Diego would answer with a two-out rally in the top of the second. Xander Bogaerts single to get it started, and that brought up Jackson Merrill.
Nelly from the stretch. First one hit high and deep out to right field. This is trouble as Smith turns and watches that one go. A two-run home run for Merrill. It is his second of the year. And the Padres cut the deficit in half. It's now 4-2.
Speaking of taxes, doesn't Jackson Merrill sound like a firm that would...
It does, yes. Yeah.
The deadline is looming. Right. Let Jackson Merrill handle your tax nightmare. Yeah.
Just like that, the lead cut in half. Ha-Seon Kim drew a walk. That brought up Higashioka.
Now the pitch. Swing, and there's a rocket over the leaping effort of Suarez towards the left field corner. Kim runs well, flying towards second. He's going to get the wave around and score. It's an RBI double by Higashioka, and the lead is down to one.
Yeah, 4-3 at that point. Nelson would get the newly acquired Luis Arraez to ground out to first to end the inning. So it's 4-3. D-backs kept the bats going in the second. Tucker Barnhart singled, then took second on a wild pitch by Waldron. Jake McCarthy now at the plate.
1-2 pitch. Knuckleball grounded up the middle. Backhanded. Oh, it's under the glove of Arraez in the center. Barnhart coming around third. He will score. And it's now 5-3 Diamondbacks.
Yeah, 5-3 at that point. Back to a two-run lead. Actually, I got ahead of myself. Oh, I really lost myself. Back to a two-run lead. Ketel Marte walked, then Pavitt Smith grounded into a 4-6-3 double play to send McCarthy to third. That brought up Christian Walker.
Waldron comes set. Now the 1-1. Fastball hit towards right center field. Long run Merrill. He is not going to be able to reach it. That is down and off the wall. McCarthy walks home. RBI double by Walker. And it's now 6-3 Diamondbacks.
Still the second inning, 6-3. That's a month's worth of runs for the D-backs.
Mm-hmm.
Padres would cut into the lead into the in the fourth inning. Fernando Tatis Jr. led off with a double. Jake Cronenworth followed with a single to send Tatis to third. Nelson got Manny Machado to ground into a 6-4-3 double play, but Tatis scored to make it 6-4. Nelson got out of the inning without further damage. D-backs would tack on in a big way in the bottom of the fourth. Barnhart doubled to start the inning. Jake McCarthy, have yourself a day.
There's a swing. Line drive right center field. That's down for a hit. Bad read by Barnhart. He's only now getting to third. Still going to be waved around as McCarthy's into second with an RBI double.
Yeah, that would end Waldron's day. D-backs would continue their onslaught against Johnny Brito with two outs in the inning. Walker came up.
Swing, bouncing ball towards third. Diving Machado knocks it down, but it's a fair ball, and Walker is aboard safely at first base with an RBI single.
8-4 at that point. Jock Peterson, one batter later, said, we're not done yet.
3-1 pitch. Swing and a high fly ball deep to right field. Tatis drifting towards the corner. Looking, watching it go. Two-run shot for Peterson, number three, and it's double digits for the Diamondbacks. They lead 10-4.
After four innings, that was the score. D-backs would get another run when Barnhart drove in Corbin Carroll in the fifth. Nelson settled down. The bullpen combo of Martinez, Mantiply, Thompson, and Ginkel were lights out. Four innings of scoreless relief. They get a much-needed victory before heading out of town. 11-4 the final. D-backs' fifth double-digit run output this season. In those five games, they've scored 70 runs. In their other 30 games, they've scored 105.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, this is we've seen this before, and that is a baseball team. This is makeup. It's cosmetics is what it is.
Yes.
You have a rough patch, and then, boom, you have an offensive explosion, and you throw that into the stats, and, oh, look, we're doing okay. When the reality of it is going into yesterday's game, the Diamondbacks were very likely the worst offensive team in Major League Baseball. At least that's how they had been performing.
When you remove that makeup that you just talked about,
yep. It
wasn't a pretty sight. There's no doubt about it. And the cosmetics, if you will, of Friday and Saturday were so gross.
Yeah.
To have two runners picked off first base basically in the first inning when you're trying to get your bats going, I don't think I've ever seen that happen before. And it's very rare to see a team. You could actually pinpoint the air, the wind coming out of the sails of a baseball team on Saturday when that happened.
Oh, yeah. No, for Jake McCarthy to take off to steal a base and to take off too early, and the pitcher's like, oh, okay, cool. I'll just pick you off. And then for Ketel Marte to get thrown behind, rounding too far on first base, I literally at that point turned off the television in protest.
Yeah.
I was that angry at the baseball team. But you know what? Jake McCarthy began yesterday with a hit. Ketel Marte, homers. Jake McCarthy was just getting started. So those two dudes at least came back and atoned for themselves.
They did. Corbin Carroll had a nice day. Tucker Barnhart had a great day at the plate. Torey Lovello on the win.
Coming off of three tough days, three losses. This team on a day game came out ready to play. And I am so proud of what they did. The first inning, we made a big statement offensively. Nelly came out hot with his stuff, was attacking the zone, and things just had a different feel to it. It just, from the first inning on, it just seemed like it was all synced up and moving in a really, really good direction. you know, you get a base hit, and then your second hitter hits a long home run. There's a ton of energy in the dugout, and it just kept flowing throughout the course of the day.
Now, I respect Torrey as much as anybody. I think you run a danger here of being so disgusted with your baseball team for 3 days in a row, then after one game, gushing with pride about them. And I get that stopping the bleeding and putting together a good effort was very, very important. It does, again, feel like this baseball team's hanging on by their fingernails.
It does.
And a lot of it is allowable. A lot of it's understandable. When this team gets their rotation intact, then I think you're going to be looking at a different sequence of outcomes. But as at the moment right now, especially with the move that the Padres made, acquiring Luis Arraez, he's an interesting piece to add to that mix. The Padres are now the second best team in the division. And the Diamondbacks have got to get that back from them.
I would agree with that. But we're sitting, at least I know, and you just brought it up, a lot of people feel the way that you do, and I do to a certain degree too. Like, when the rotation is whole, everything will be better. That doesn't fix the offense. And people will talk about the injuries, but are Alec Thomas and Geraldo Perdomo, with all due respect, the differences in your offense? They're not. I mean, they're better than what they have in there right now on a day-to-day basis, but we're not talking about boppers in the lineup. They're talking about guys at the end of, you know, the back end of the order. I'm really concerned about this offense.
Yeah.
When it takes a nap, it sleeps pretty well.
Yeah, that is true. So I do think that getting to the end of this month back at 500, it's an ambitious goal. It's what I'd be shooting for if I were the Diamondbacks. If you can get to June 1 and be 500, you're going to feel like you stole something.
Yeah, and I think, why wait till the end of the month?
You don't have
maybe
to.
Maybe set that, you know, the next 5 days. Let's win five in a row and try to get back to 500. But I don't know if this team is capable of that right now. That's with the point. Way the bats are going. Cincinnati for three, then Baltimore for the D-backs. That series in Cincinnati against the Reds starts tomorrow. Coming up next, lots of storylines around the NBA outside of Phoenix, including a coach opening in La La Land. We'll get into all of it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Come on. I'm burning. Come on. Come on.
Arizona Sports.
Ball in.
Floor burns with Bickley and Murata.
Wait, just dunk it. Wait, just break.
Once the Lakers did not advance past Denver, lost in five games, Darvin Ham was essentially finished as Lakers coach, despite the fact 90-74 in 2 years, went to the Western Conference Finals last year, and then won more games.
It's Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN back on Friday. The Lakers not waiting very long after getting eliminated by the Nuggets in the first round. They win one game in the first round. They fire their head coach, Darvin Ham, after 2 years, which shines a light not only on what's going on with the Lakers, with that roster, and they are a very big disappointment, too. They're not getting absolved because we're in Phoenix, home of a disappointment. But it also shines a light on what the Suns are doing or not doing at their coaching position.
Yeah, I think that the Lakers, they represented themselves fairly well, I guess. They played a competitive series against the Timberwolves. But still, this is LeBron James and Anthony Davis and a team that put themselves in that position by, you know, having to struggle to get through a play-in. All right, so I think that this doesn't help LeBron James's look because of his reputation as a guy that just blows through head coaches. At the same time, I think you take a look at this and just wonder, what is LeBron's future? And are the Lakers really just kind of, are they on pins and needles waiting to hear about what LeBron James wants to do? And then you have to look at it too, the whole changing of the guard thing in the NBA, it is so very real. When you look at the fact that LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry, neither of those three dudes could lift their team to a playoff series victory. Steph Curry could even get there.
Yeah.
That's something. That's a proof of how the ground is shifting in the NBA.
Oh, you know how the ground is shifting? There's a new face of the league, Dan Bickley.
The thing about Ant is that he plays both ends of the court. They are the number one defensive team, partially because Ant works hard on that end. He is 6'4" with extremely long arms and works his tail off on offense. Does the whole thing with a smile. Is not afraid of big shots. Explosive player. This is a guy that is as exciting as a player as we've seen in the NBA, coming into the NBA in a while, and definitely is the future face of the league.
That's Brian Windhorst from ESPN on Anthony Edwards, who had a very good game. He was fantastic in game one on Saturday against Denver. But that's not where the love and respect ends from ESPN towards Anthony Edwards. Kendrick Perkins.
Can I take a moment to tell Anthony Edwards, I don't know if he's watching, I hope he is, but I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. All the OGs and the old heads that have retired and went away from the game of basketball, guess what? We ready to renew our vows back with the NBA because he has given us life again. With that type of being that type of competitor, being that type of leader, playing with force. We're in the era right now where the Europeans were looking like they were taking over the game of basketball, and Anthony Edwards have stepped up to the plate and said, hold up 1 second. We're still here.
Bringing back life to the NBA.
Look, we can make fun of that, but I think the overall point is accurate. Anthony Edwards, to me, is the most exciting player the league has seen in a long, long time. I feel it.
I was hesitant to go down that road. Mm-hmm. And let's look at the Sun series.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Edwards was, I think, really good in one game and decent in the other three games. The Minnesota Timberwolves did not sweep the Phoenix Suns because Anthony Edwards just dominated. I think the role players were bigger in that series overall than Anthony Edwards was. But to see what he did on the road in game one against the defending champions, where it didn't, the level, and one thing that Kendrick Perkins talked about that is, and Brian Windhorst talked about it too, that really stands out is the passion with which he competes. That's refreshing. Because let's look again at our own team.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that the Phoenix Suns aren't competitive, that they don't have a passion for what they're doing. It's just not outwardly visible a lot of times.
No.
You know,
to the point where you really have to wonder if it's there, because why don't you have any joy doing what you're doing?
Yes. But one thing that, and this is not specific to Anthony Edwards, this is just generally speaking, everybody around the NBA is so, they're always so concerned about what's next, you know? Instead of enjoying what's happening, it's who's the next big star? And this has gone on, honestly, since Michael Jordan's career ended. Everybody's always looking for the next. It was even going on when Jordan was playing. Harold Miner.
Yeah.
Supposed to be Isaiah Ryder.
It stopped with Kobe. I think it stopped with Kobe, and I think that's what Anthony Edwards is looking like. Anthony Edwards is looking like it looks like he is stamped out of the Kobe Michael Jordan mode. And yeah, it's early, he's not this all the time, but I know I find him to be incredibly compelling to watch.
2 years ago, everybody thought the future of the league was Trae Young and Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, and now their stars are both falling. But when I was watching the Orlando Cavs game yesterday, and then obviously what Ant is doing, I look at Paolo Banchero, however you pronounce his name, sorry, and Anthony Edwards, and you think here in Phoenix, and you're like, just shows you how important it is to get that number one pick right, because they could be franchise changers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when you're the Suns, whether it was bad luck or bad decision making, did not get it right.
56 years the Suns have had the number one overall draft pick exactly one time. Yeah,
but I also do believe that one of the things that worries me about the Suns right now is, okay, if this roster was really constructed this poorly, and that is what people are pointing to more than anything, if this roster construction was done so poorly, then what does that say about the people who are running our franchise? What does that say about our future as a basketball team? I think those questions, you know, get magnified by their position on drafting players. What do we care about what's going on in 2031? There's an arrogance and a denial that we don't need this. And I'm not sure that's the league anymore. I think you look at these teams now, and it's the teams that are able to integrate young, active players. players into mixes and then really kind of show different different looks at teams. And I don't know, this idea that we're just going to constantly have a revolving door and never, ever, ever attempt to like grow young players, I don't know if that's all that smart
it's
either.
It's certainly not sustainable.
No. And again, they don't have a lot of options now. But at some point in time, you know, this is something that they're going to have to reconcile. Yeah.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line. It's open at 620-620 right now. I'll share another pet peeve with you. I hate when I have to agree with Draymond Green. And it's happening. We'll tell you more about it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.